Let's pray before we begin today. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, we humble ourselves, and we ask for you to speak, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, for you to fill us up with your presence, God. Feed us, God, nourish our soul, Lord. We come, we want to hear your word, we want to worship you, we want to be in your presence, Lord. And so we ask you, open our hearts to see, or open our eyes to see, Lord, you this morning. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 145. We'll read the whole thing. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, and to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. This past Friday at our college group, before we even got started, we started talking about worship music and about our worship times, or specifically our praise and worship times. So when I say worship, in the sense, it's more about our praise and worship times. And we got to talking about what makes a good worship song and which songs are good and which songs sound good. Our discussion moved into like what would make a like the worship portion of service, what it should look like, and what kinds of songs actually should go into these times of worship. With its corporate worship, everyone is gathered together. What kinds of songs are appropriate to sing, and what kinds of songs may not be the best songs to sing, and One thing that came up was this idea that a lot of the songs that we sing these days are focused on the individual rather than focused on God. It talks about a lot of, I am going to do this, and you know how the song, or our response to God. And I'll say this before I get too deep into this. There are places and times of worship where the songs that we sing that detail our response to God are absolutely vital, because worship is not just this time where there's no emotion coming from us. God has created us with emotions, and he has created us to express these emotions. So in the presence of God, there is going to be a response. And so absolutely, there's going to be a time and place where we sing songs that actually talk about our response. I mean, if you read throughout Psalms, the psalmist always writes about his response to what God is doing in his life. So there is a time and place for worship songs that talk about, you know, our feelings and emotions as we come before the throne of God, as we meditate on what God has done for us, and we sing about our thankfulness and all this and that. But at the same time, the thing that we were talking about on Friday at our college group was that if our entire worship set is just songs that talk about us, is it really then worship? And we're like, well, I guess not. Well, it is worship, but worship of us. And you know, it's not to criticize, right? Again, I really want to make that clear. It's not to criticize, but in some ways we lose the focus of why we worship. See, it's not just a time where we make ourselves feel good about our actions or we just purely focus on our feelings and emotions. When in GIC, we have assurance of answer prayer, and one of the things that we teach, or the course teaches about assurance of answer prayer, is they actually teach people how to pray, or a model of prayer, and it's this acronym called ACTS, A-C-T-S, and it stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. It gives a model or a process of how you can start praying. If you're asking, well, how do I pray? Well, just pray according to ACTS. First, you adore God, and then you confess to God, and then you thank God, and then S, supplication, means you ask God. Now, notice that supplication, the ask, is at the very end. The temptation for us as Christians a lot of times is to go straight to the supplication or the ask. Or we spend an inordinate amount of time on supplication and we kind of breeze through the first three. And so you can imagine, like, the if you chart a graph and our amount of time spent on the we just spend a lot of time on, I don't know the XY axis, we just spend a lot of time on supplication. We spend most of the time, yeah, I should go back to math class, but we spend more time on asking God and not enough time on adoration, even though that is the first thing in the acronym. Now, it doesn't mean that every time you pray, you have to spend X amount of time on adoration, but you guys know, understand what I'm saying, where the intent of that model of prayer isn't to say, this is how much time you should spend, this is the order you have to go in, but it's to remind us, what is the purpose of prayer? And similarly with worship, because worship is not just this one-way communication where we sing to God our emotions. Worship is a time where we get to be in the presence of God. And so I ask this question often in GIC when I come to this unit, and I also ask this of my students on Fridays. Like, well, let's just talk about adoration. You know, how do we adore and worship? What are some of the ways that you do it? What kinds of things do you say? Like, how do you actually adore God? Is it just a feeling that you have, like, oh, okay? Or what kinds of things do we actually say? In your prayer, how do you adore God? And I say this most of the time that we don't have much answers or many answers is because, and this is coming from personal experiences, because I don't spend too much time adoring God. Or we haven't developed this language or this habit, this practice or discipline of adoring God. We might thank him, we'll confess him, that's easy, but adoring God, it becomes a little bit more difficult because we're just not into the practice of doing it. And partly one of the things that we were discussing with the college groups, because we learn a lot of our theology through our worship songs. And so if our worship songs doesn't contain a lot of language or like doesn't teach us how to adore God, we're not going to really understand how to adore God or really know how to do it. And so this is where Psalm 145 comes in. And I think it really gives us a good template or example of what adoration looks like. See, when we adore God, just to kind of give us a working definition of what it is or what it looks like, is that we are reminding ourselves of who God is and what he is able to do. Because in that place where we are looking to God and just thinking of his abilities and his characteristics, we realize just how amazing he is and all that he can do and all that he is, and we just bask and revel in that place. Yesterday and the day before, when I was going home, Cora, my wife, went to the playroom at the clubhouse with my son Jared. And so as I'm coming home, she tries to time it so that as I come home, they'll meet me at the minibus stop that I get off at. But yesterday and the day before, I didn't take the minibus. I just walked from the MTR down to our place. And so I was waiting for them at the entrance of our building. And so I can see Cora and Jared as they come up from the clubhouse. And so I see them far away. And I see Cora pointing out to me, probably from where, you know, where the coffee bar is, pointing, and she's walking with Jared and pointing out to Jared, hey, there's Daddy. And then he sees, and then he just starts like running, hands in the air, screaming, yelling, and people are wondering what's going on. And they see this little tyke just like kind of wobbly running up to me. And so we talk about stuff like that about Jared, like, man, that's so cute. Or like other things that he does, like, that's so cute, I can't believe he did this, and then he did this the other day. Oh, did the teacher tell you what he did? He said this, and then he said this, and we just keep talking and talking about him. And for us, that's our way of adoring him. He's actually super adorable, despite all the time he whines and cries, but he's really adorable. And in that place where my wife and I are talking about Jared, we're just focused on him, and it brings us so much joy. It brings out this love that we have for him. And it, when we're in that place, we're like, man, you know, how can we love him even more? How can we show him? How can we do things for him? Let's go buy him a toy. Because he gets so happy. Like, I bought him a toy last Saturday. It's a green minibus toy. And then he goes, Dad, Dad, buy Jared toy or bus. And we'll ask him the next day, who bought you that toy? Daddy. Right? And we're like, yes, I'm number one. But the whole point is, when we adore, we just constantly focus on him. We think about the things, like I think about things that Jared has done. And if you translate to God, we think about the things that God has done. It brings up this joy, this hope, this idea that, yeah, things are going to be okay. With Jared, every time we talk about all the goofy and silly things that he does, we forget about all the difficult times where he refuses to eat, or he plays with his hair after putting his hands in his food, or all these things that annoy and frustrate the heck out of us. But we look to his, all the things that bring us joy about him. See, adoration and worship is not given by God to us because he needs that assurance that we love him. He's not some megalomaniac. We adore because when we do, it's for our own good. Our focus turns to him and on his power. And you ever wonder why some people are able to spend so much time in worship and they love it? And you're like, man, like, how is this possible? Because I try to do it, and I'm like, I'll sing a few songs, and like, okay. But they're always like so excited to worship, and they're very demonstrative, and all that. And why are they so, you know, seemingly so positive? Like, praise God, and this and that. I'm like, well, I think it's because they've been able to practice and discipline themselves in adoration and in worship to understand doing this really is for their benefit, and it brings out something in them that really that charges them, that encourages them. They do this because they are able to look to God, and in doing so, they remind themselves of what he is able to do. They have personally experienced the goodness of God and are looking to that instead of looking towards their circumstance. In verse, in just a few verses here, verse 6, men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. See, people that worship, it's not just a show that they put on. It's not something that they do because it's what they've been taught to do. You worship, you raise your hands, and you sing your four songs, and you know, you'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that they do. It's not a formula. It's because they personally experienced it. In verse 7, the psalmist writes, they shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness. This idea, this memory, isn't something that I've learned in a class, but it's something that they've experienced. So they're reflecting on what God has done in their life. If you examine your life, you can see all the times that God has been gracious, all the times that God has been loving. In verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful. The psalmist is doing this. He's reflecting on the character of the Lord. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. He's reminding himself, not just of what he's been taught, but what he has experienced. When we turn to adoration in our worship, our minds are centered on God and the assurance of his power. And that's why I believe it goes first. We adore first, and we were to follow that acronym, ACTS, acronym A-C-T-S. We adore first so that when we come to supplication, I mean, this is very practical. We remind ourselves of just how powerful God is, what he is able to do, of his greatness, of his creation, of the fact that his banner is over us, he protects us, people know that we're under his protection, people know that we're his people. When we remind ourselves of that, when we get to that part of supplication and asking for things, we don't need to stir up in ourselves, man, I got to pray so much in order for this to come true. Because I know that God has already taken care of it, because I have reminded myself of who God is. In that moment when we worship, God gives us that, again, that experience, that knowledge of who he is. We present a request to him, assured of what he can and will be able to do. When we adore, we have this reminder. We know what it looks like. It's like if you're cooking, and instead of looking at the recipe or following YouTube video, you just go ahead and do it. But you don't really know what it's supposed to taste like or look like. Like, you go straight to the end product. Actually, no, forget the illustration. It doesn't really work. Sorry. If our focus is on the adoration of God, you know, it takes away this need to be anxious, or removes that anxiety. And it takes away this need to ask for things in a million different ways, or to pray long. Like, I mean, we should intercede, and we should pray hard, and we should pray with our hearts. But it's not this idea that I have to do it with my prayers. Like, God, I got to ask you in a million different ways because I'm not sure if you can do it. We don't have to approach God with this insecurity that he might not answer. We approach him, we ask, and we are assured because of who God is. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. And so I bring Psalm 145 to you guys this morning as a starting point to help us develop this language of adoration, this discipline of adoration. One thing that was really hammered home to me last year, or God was really speaking to me, was this question of who is like our God? And there's many things that he did in my life last year where I kept coming back to this question, who is like our God? And so I continue just to meditate on it, asking the question, who is like a God? Who can do this? Who can do that? And it wasn't just things in my life, but I was seeing other things that he was doing in lives of people around me and just in general. Who is like our God? Who is like our God? The psalmist says in verse 5, on your wonderful works I will meditate. And I've been meditating on this, on his wonderful works. Who is like our God? Who can do all these things? And as I do, and as I did, I actually found that he was bringing, Holy Spirit was speaking more and more things into my heart about how to adore God, how to worship him, not just, you know, in, or how to expand my perspective of what worship is. And so as we worship this morning, as Pastor Nate comes up to lead us in worship, let's just meditate on our lives to see times and instances where God has worked. Right? And instead of focusing on what he did for you, the final results, let Holy Spirit speak to you and just ask yourself that question, who is like our God that he can do this? And just meditate on that as we worship today. And let me just pray for us as we do that. Father, thank you for your message of adoration, Lord, adoration in worship, Father. I pray, God, as we meditate this morning, Holy Spirit, may you speak to us. May you teach us. May you guide us through this time. May you show us more and more ways of adoring you, God. May you give us the language, the words to speak. And in doing so, bring up this hope, this joy, this assurance of knowing who you are. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord is gracious.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion and all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far as we moved our transgressions from us.
The Lord is gracious.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the
Father, you are good, you are holy, you are great and mighty. Lord, you are slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. You are so merciful, you are so gracious. Your love knows no bounds. These things, Lord, may we meditate day and night, God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given this to us, God, that you have given adoration to us, not so that we are your minions, but that it helps us, God, that it is for our benefits. Thank you that in this we have hope. In this we will have joy, God. We thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, may you reveal scripture, Lord, songs, vocabulary to them, Lord, to praise you, to adore you. Speak it deep into their hearts, Lord, and may it fuel them. May it sustain them. May it encourage them and edify them, Lord. We thank you, God. Let's turn to our community of prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing various treatments and therapies and surgeries. Let's pray for those in our community that are sick and have yet to receive the word of Christ into their lives. Let's pray for those in our community suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand over them. Lift up those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors and just give them wisdom and discernment as they look for opportunities. Your mission focus. Let's pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, and SP New York. Let's pray for God's hand over all of our churches. Let's also pray for Kelly, who's in the U.S. Let's pray for God's covering over her as she does her missions work in the U.S. Pray for our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the college students. Let's pray for God to grow our students, our kids, and to teach them from a young age who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Thank you. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Pray for IP, Well, and the River. Throughout these ministries, pray that God will use these ministries to heal people, to speak to people, and just to direct these ministries to pray for this church. Let's pray for Thursday outreaches tonight, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Pray for our house churches tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westfield. Let's pray for a good time of fellowship and prayer and worship together as a body. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures, Lord, that gives us so much insight, Lord, into your heart, God. That even in this adoration, it really shows your heart for us to be lifted up, that you want to give us hope, that you want to give us joy, Lord. And so place it on our hearts, Lord. Give us this hunger to always go into your word, Lord, to find out what it is that you say, Lord. To learn how to adore you, to learn how to pray, to go deeper in prayer, to go deeper in worship, Father. Give us that hunger and that desire and that thirst, Lord, not just knowledge for knowledge's sake, but to have an experience and encounter with you. So we thank you, Lord. Father, be with my brothers and sisters today, Lord, as we go about our days, as we go about our work. May you place in us this worshipful attitude that in all that we do, we look for you, that we look to you, God. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.